Tonight we're going to be bouncing off that series and talking about the verse that we actually read earlier, which is 1 Peter 1:3-5. So if you have your Bibles, or if you have your phone or whatever, if not, it should be on the screen. But we looked at, just to recap, so eternity, like Francis talked about heaven, he talked about hell, he talked about your life here and how short it is and how much it impacts eternity and how the way you live here with Jesus and what you do with him affects your eternity, how big eternity is, and how we saw some testimonies of how it changes other people's lives and what that looks like of their lives being changed. So what happens now, so we looked at, that's what God gives you. He's got eternity in mind for you. And because of that, like most of you, or all of you, one or the other, have received Christ, right? So you've been given something. And my question, I've got a couple questions tonight. My first one is, do you know, it's the biggest one I have for tonight, do you know what you've been given? And most of you, it's okay, yeah, eternity, you know, eternal life, you know, I'm not going to hell, I've got Jesus. Most of you have been given something, and I know this because I've been given something that I don't know what it is. And you say, what are you talking about? So I'm going to unpack that tonight and hopefully show you in just a second. So look with me at 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for your salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So at first glance, many of you look at that, and sometimes I can even look at that at first glance, and honestly, you'd say, okay, I get that. Like, it makes sense up here. I've got salvation, I've got this hope it's talking about, I've got an inheritance, okay, it makes sense. But honestly, if you're honest with yourself and if you're honest with God, you look at that, and some of you would say, is that me? Some of you say, you know, that doesn't really excite me. And actually, when I read that, it's actually kind of boring. And it doesn't excite me. And I know it doesn't excite me. It doesn't put anything inside of me. And before we move on, let me say this. Number one, I've been there. And each leader in this room has been there as far as reading Scripture. And it should be this exciting experience about the salvation you've got. Why am I not feeling excited for this? So each one of us has been there. And guess what? We still continue to struggle with that. And reading Scripture and being like, you know, this is just boring to me. Why is this boring to me? So hopefully I'm going to unpack a few things, like of this one thing that you have that you don't understand yet. And I'll even show you why with that, which is the main thing that I'm going to be pulling out of this hope he's talking about. So you guys have been given eternity. You've been given freedom in Christ from your sin. But look at what it says. According to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again into a living hope. And this hope is something that's living, like I just said, it's living inside of you. It's alive because you're alive, because God made you alive. And so some of you are going, okay, God, Jordan, I get it. I understand. So what are you talking about? What are you saying that I don't understand this? Let me show you something real quick. Do you guys remember the woman at the well? Do you guys know that story? Yes, no, maybe. Just to recap, I'm not going to go there. But so Jesus comes. And this woman is living in sin, and she hasn't been living for God. She's actually had multiple husbands. She's living with somebody who's not her husband. She's living in sin. She's not living for God. Jesus comes in. He shows her about her sin, and she actually tries to do some dodging. And is like, no, I don't want to talk about this. And then God comes in and says, no, we're talking about it. Changes her, opens her eyes to this eternal life that she now can have. She immediately realizes who Jesus is. She runs and goes, tells her friends. And the Bible says because of that, because of her testimony, they believe that Jesus was who he says he was. But here's the thing. So she received Jesus there. Her eyes were open. But did she know about the fruit of the Spirit? You know, love, you know, woman at the well, like you just talked to Jesus. Do you know about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control? Do you know about the Ten Commandments? Do you know? I'm like, no. She knew what she needed to know about God and the hope that he started to show her and that she received. So this hope that you've got from God is a lot like, it's exactly the same hope that the woman at the well got. And as you live for God, he's going to start showing you different things of what that hope does in you and what it looks like. And actually, let me show you something else. You guys tracking with me so far? You with me? So just like, and you can relate to this, like when I became saved, it was like this thing of, I don't know everything about God when I first become saved. But what happens is he starts showing me different things about himself and how it works, and it's kind of like getting a car. So like I remember I was 17, 18, got my first truck, I was like pumped about it. I knew it ran on gas, I knew it had two pedals and an e-brake, I knew it would go and it would stop. I could drive this thing as a pickup truck. It's a Chevy. All power to Chevy. But here's the thing. I didn't know how this thing worked. And so I get it, and it's got a problem. And I knew it had a problem, so I take it to the mechanic. And the mechanic's like, okay. I'm bringing it in. I'm like, hey, Jeff, she's got a problem. I need you to look at it. You do some tests. You fix it. Yeah, I'll fix it. You know, have you ever been with your parents, and they've taken you to get their car fixed or something? You ever heard the mechanic talk? I mean, you go in there, and it's a second language. It's gibberish. I mean, you go in there, I'm like, all right, can you take this? I'm not sure what's, you know, just, all right, you know, Jordan, we'll do some scans on it. I come back about 30 minutes later. All right, Mr. Phillips, we did some scans on it. We started her up. We had the O2 sensor plugged into the confabulator, and then compression started coming up. And as the compression started coming up, we had to rev it even more, and we had the heat in the building. And all of a sudden, all the confabulation started crashing. And then after that, we was going like this. And we had to shut her down. I thought that's what it was. I had no idea. But guess what? As I got this car of my truck, till I totaled it, I learned I tore the engine apart. This is what, I literally did. This is what a head gasket is. This is what a fuel pump does. This is what, and this hope that we have, this is what God does with it. He says our life and our relationship with Jesus is a lot like him opening up the hood and saying, you know what, this is what my hope does for you here. This is how it changes you here and makes you look at people here. And so a lot of us, we get saved and we have this hope, but it changes us. And some of you don't know how it changes you. And the Bible says, number one, that's okay. Because God knows you're human, and he knows you don't know it all, but he wants you to grow in this hope, and he wants you to know about this hope. So let me explain it real quick. So look at verse 3 again. He has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Paul is writing to believers here, and he could just say, okay, you guys have been saved. You guys have been born again. I mean, that's great. But he also wants them to know about what I just talked about, this hope. Because look at what he says. You were born again to a living hope. What verse 3 is saying is here, you were once dead. You were once not living, and you could not hope. Your mind was against God. This is what happens before you're saved. Your mind cannot think for God. It says, I want what I want. Everything that's good in me is actually selfish. The Bible says your mind is 100% against God before you're saved. And so what happens is God comes down, he makes you alive, he makes you saved so that you can hope in him with everything. So, and this hope is living. It's not just this, well, I hope the mail comes today, or I hope my team wins today, or I hope my girlfriends are able to be on time today because we're not going to be able to eat on time if they're not here, or whatever. It's this hope it's this hope that is living, which means God is the one making you alive, and he's the one giving you that hope. And it's not going to be taken away. And it's not like this unsure thing of I don't know when it'll happen or if it'll happen. But it's this thing that says, look at what it says. He's caused us to be born again into a hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So this hope is I'm going to live forever. And God has made it certain, so it's not just this, I don't know this stuff. God is causing you to hope for something, which is Him, and in eternity, like Francis just talked about, with Him. And the hope is that when I die, this isn't it. Have you ever thought about that? Like, what if I die tonight? That's a hard thought. But if I die, or whatever I'm going through now, this isn't it. Like all the hard stuff, like you guys have got some brokenness in your lives, and I don't know you guys personally, not one-on-one necessarily, but in a group this size, just statistically speaking, but throw that all aside, we've all got hurt in our lives. And the hard thing is how can I even hope with all this hurt in my life? And part of the reason why we can't is because God's saying, guess what? I got something coming for you, this inheritance. So look at verse 4, it says, we'll go back from 3. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is unperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept safe in heaven for you. Now, you see, okay, this hope, I get to live forever. But it's more than just living forever. Because I'm living right now, like I just said, we all have hurt in our lives, and it would be horrible if that was it, right? I mean, like, if I'm living forever, great, because I'm living, and if that's just it, I'm living now, and I just got to deal with pain for the rest of my life? Like, don't hear what I'm not saying. Like, first and foremost, like, the best thing about this thing is that we get to be saved from our sin and saved from hell. But it doesn't stop there from what he's saying. He's saying, once I've got you, once you're saved, you can have hope that once you die, I've got everything you could ever want and need over here in heaven. Every pleasure that you want, every desire you could want, because you've got me. That's a hard thing to sometimes realize when you've got things pointing at you saying, come pour your life into me here on earth. And I'm not saying you don't like things and you don't go do things like, I love to surf. I love to hang out with my friends, with Manny. I love talking to Steve. I love being a human being because God made me a human being. Like, God doesn't take your desires and say, Brooke Kelleher, you're no longer Brooke Kelleher. You have to hope in me, and that's it. There's nothing for you but me, and so your personality's gone. You can't wear pink anymore. No. He says, I gave you those desires, and I've got something better in heaven that will actually satisfy those desires. So what happens is, not only will I live forever, but I'm going to be pleased forever because I've got God. And not only that, look at this. He says, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he says that because, it struck me, I was like, okay, we're getting saved because Jesus paid for my sin. Why didn't he just say that? He goes, no? Any thoughts? He says that because if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, how am I going to raise from the dead? I can have hope that I have a God who raised from the dead. We're talking about a God who speaks and the dead listen. Lazarus, rise. You guys remember that? Brooke Kelleher, if you were dead, rise. Like he speaks. That's the kind of power this God of ours has. And we can have hope in him that when I die, I mean, if you guys are human, I think you are. Like, I get scared I'm serious. Like, I get scared sometimes. Like, what if this isn't real? What if, God, you don't have the power? What happens if I die and some reason this thing doesn't work and I don't live? And he's saying, I can have hope that says, if I die or when I die, because you're going to die. Either Jesus is coming or you're going to die. You can have hope that I'm going to live. He's going to raise me. He's got that power. And that power and this hope is what changes me. So my next question, what are you putting your hope in? Like, what do you mean? Because this hope is saying, God, you save me. God, you're going to bring me to heaven. God, you're going to change me. You've got everything for me. But what are you putting your hope in? Are you putting your hope in your iPhone? Are you putting your hope in Twitter? Are you putting your hope in what people think of you on Facebook? Are you putting your hope in the way you look, how your hair looks? Are you putting your hope in maybe getting a girlfriend or a boyfriend? Are you putting your hope in how your friends make you feel? Because that's where you get your ultimate value and pleasure. Like I said, those things are not bad. But are you putting all your apples in that barrel and saying, that's what's ultimately going to make me happy? Because if you're doing that, I'll tell you, you're going to be hurt. You're hurt regardless because of this broken world, but you're going to find that could satisfy me even up until my dying day. But ultimately, I'm not going to have this joy that I'll have with Jesus. Are you putting your hope in that to fully satisfy you? And the reason why I ask that is because you're not made for that. Like, remember when I said your personality, right? Like, God doesn't take that away, so it's not wrong to have those things. But you were made to hope in God, and here's why. Look at Psalm 16:2. Is that up there? I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good thing apart from you. And David wrote this, and what David realized is that now that he's saved, now that he has hope in God, what happens is he says, God is my everything. If I'm going to be pleased, God's the one who's going to please me and everything. So anything I do apart from God is not going to please me. So you can go to school or you can come to Firehouse, and we're really good at doing this. We're really good at saying, God, please save me. Please help me with my problems. I'm hurt. People hurt me. People bully me. People, I don't know what's happened to you, but we're really good about saying, God, fix my problem, or God, you know, save me. And then we kind of shut that down and say, okay, that was my God time. And then I go over here, and this is where I go to my activity, I go to my sport, I go to my friend's house, I go to social media, and God's not in that. But here's what David's saying. You can do those things and hope in God at the same time and say, God, how do you want me to use social media? What do you? He changes the way you think. He takes your mind and says, well, here's what you see about social media. Now that you're hoping in me, or here's what you see about your sport or your friends. Now that you're hoping in me, I say, Jesus, you're my everything. And what happens is I live life differently. Why? Because he starts putting different desires inside of me and different ways I see things. And it's something that I wish I could really explain, but only God's going to be able to do that for you. You see people differently. He puts desires in you to want to come to Firehouse. You want to go be with believers. Or you want to. He puts a desire in you to read your Bible. Like, all us leaders can be really honest with you guys and say, there are days where we don't want to read our Bibles. And there's days where, you know what? I just don't want to worship. I don't want to think about God. That happens to me because I'm broken and I'm sinful. So you can know, look, we struggle with this. But what happens is, ultimately, I can say, okay, I got to have those desires, but God puts them inside of me. The tough thing is, some of you are going, okay, Jordan, I get it. This hope should change me, right? It should give me a new way of looking at life, a new way of how I live life. And some of you are going, you know, I didn't think about that before. Some of you are going, I have. I know I'm struggling with some of this. And the hard thing is you're like, okay, what do I do? How do I fix it? What does Scripture say about this? Because if that's it, you're telling me, Jordan, like, I've got this hope, and it's awesome, and it changes my life. Like, I get to live forever, and God's got my back, and he's got everything for me. He's my everything now. You're telling me that, Jordan, and I just still feel like this. It's nothing. Let me show you what Scripture says that's brought so much hope to me. So even in that, you can still have hope. Let me show you. Because we're really good at saying, okay, George is telling me all this. I've got to go do this now. God says, I've got to love people. I've got to love people now. God says, I've got to please him. So I've got to please him. I've got to go to youth group. I've got to be with Christian people. I've got to... We're really good at that. But here's what God says, what really pleases him. Psalm 147, verse 10. through 11. So, his delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hope in his steadfast love. So God's going down saying, look, you can do all the squats you want, bros. Like, you can have these, like, thick thighs and calves and just be really strong. Like, or, you know, what the scripture is really saying, you can try all that you want. You can come to Firehouse. You can even read your Bible all you want and pray all you want and really say, okay, I got to pray to God. I got to read my Bible. I got to do these things because I want to please God. And what he's saying is, what really pleases me, like that, I'm not impressed with that. He says, Jordan, you want to please me? Hope in me. Come to me. So first you guys got to be honest and say, God, I'm having trouble hoping in you. And the reason why that pleases him is because now you're putting your trust where it needs to be. You're putting your life where it needs to be. And again, you say, okay, it still sounds like I've got to do it then. But look at verse 5 real quick of 1 Peter. So you've got a treasure kept for you in heaven, an inheritance. Who by God, and you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for your salvation, ready for the day, ready to be revealed in the last time. So what's happening is God is shielding you guys. If you've received him as your Savior, some of you are like, this really hurts. I don't feel like reading God's word. Or, you know, I'm dealing with the fact that I'm not hoping in God in these areas of my life. What happens is God says, look, there's going to be times where where your faith and your hope fails. Like, look at me. Your faith is going to fail. It's going to fail tomorrow. It's going to fail the next day in little ways and big ways. But here's what he says. God's power is guarding you through faith. And who gives us faith? Ephesians says, he gives us faith. So I can't, if it was up to me, there'd be nothing to guard. So if it was me saying, I've got to have faith, produce faith in me so I believe in God, so that I hope like I'm supposed to, what would happen? There's nothing for God to guard because I've done the work, right? So what he's saying here is, I'm the one who gives you faith. And if you've accepted me as your Savior, guess what? Be patient. I will put faith and hope in you where it needs to be. So some of you guys may get scared sometimes or worried. Like, what do I do? Like, this hurts. But you can rest and hope in God that he's going to put the hope that we're talking about in you, this excitement of how to even live. Like, he's the one that does it for you. So he will let you fail and let you not hope, but only to a point. Philippians says he's faithful and just to complete the work that he started in you till, what, eternity, right? So what happens is I can rest and say, you know what, I don't feel like reading your word today, God, but you're keeping me. You're going to put that desire in me. And I'm not, it doesn't cause you to be lazy, but what happens is like, some of you guys are aching. You want God. And let me tell you something, you can stop trying to do it yourself and you can rest and say, okay, God, you show me how to live life. And as I read your word, you put desire in me to want you because only he can do that. So if you're struggling with any of that, I'm saying, you know, I'm not hoping enough. Or maybe you are. Maybe you're living for God right now and you're just excited and you have hope and it's changing the way you live and you're living for God and he's showing you all. Keep it up. That's real. That can happen. But if you're struggling with any of this, ask him. Say, God, give me hope. Because guess what he says? If you'll ask, I'll give you my Holy Spirit. So if you're struggling with anything, the best and the first thing you can do tonight is say, God, help me to hope in you in all my circumstances and for you to be my everything. And show me how beautiful and awesome this hope is. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, tonight, God, we're broken, and it's easy, God, to get distracted and put our hope in other things. Father, tonight I ask that you would just work on the hearts of everybody in this room, that you would put our hope in you, God. You give us the strength and power to do that, because you're the one that does that, God. With your head still bowed, if there's anybody, if you're struggling with this, of saying, I'm having a hard time, Jordan, I've got a lot of hurt. How could I put my hope in God? I've got a divorced parent. I've got people bullying me at school. Nobody accepts me. Or I just feel lonely, or I don't feel like I measure up to God. I don't feel like I could ever get close to God. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I see your hands. Anyone else? I want to pray for you before I do. If there's any of you that maybe you've been coming to Firehouse, maybe you've seen this hope and you want to taste it, but maybe you don't have a relationship with God and you want this hope that I'm talking about. You want to be able to be sure. You want to be able to have hope for all your problems and to be assured that you're going to be in heaven forever with this inheritance with God. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Yes, I see your hand. I want to pray for both of you. Leaders, please pray. Father, I thank you for the boldness that you've given these students to raise their hands. Father, I just ask that, God, for the ones that are struggling right now that maybe even didn't raise their hands, God, to hope in you, to find you, God. Father, I just ask that they would experience your mercy and your grace on them. You're not mad at them. Father, you have so much grace and so much love for them. And you want them to hear that. You want them to hope in you. It's a good thing. So, Father, I ask that you would strengthen them, that you would do that, God, that you would open their eyes to see how beautiful you are, God, and how it's not this religious thing, but, God, that they would see hoping in you as just part of their everyday lives, and that they don't need to feel guilty about it, God, but they're convicted, God, so I just ask that you would change their hearts, God, that they would feel your hope and your presence and your love, because you love them, God. I just ask that you would strengthen them in your power to keep hoping in you. God, for the hands that have been raised that don't know you, God, if you don't know them, you can repeat what I'm saying. The prayer isn't necessarily what saves you. God's saving you, but this is you responding, saying, God, I want to be saved, and I'm receiving your gift, Jesus, and I want your hope. I want what you have for me. So if that's you, you can pray. Father, I know I'm a sinner. Father, I know I put my hope in other things and not you. Father, I know I need you to forgive me of my sin, and I want you to be my everything, the one that pleases me, the one that takes care of me in my hurt and while I go through pain here, and Father, who takes care of me in heaven forever. Father, I confess that Jesus is my Lord. I surrender myself to him, that he's the one that tells me what to do now. He's the one that shows me how to live life, and I'll obey him because of your love. I accept your love and I accept your forgiveness. If that's you, and if you've just prayed that, you're a believer. You've received God's love and his sacrifice for you, and you're saved. Father, again, I just pray for the new believers, God, the ones that are struggling, for all these students here tonight, and the leaders, God, that you continue to help us to put our hope in you and to show us what it looks like even more as we grow to put our hope in you. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.